Hey, fantasy fanatics, and welcome to the 4Fs podcast. Lifelong friends Josh and Justin will carry you along this roller coaster season of Monday night comebacks, Sunday dominant performances, and the grueling pressure of not coming last in a league of their closest friends. Now here are your hosts, Josh and Justin.
Thanks, Newt, and welcome back to the 4F Podcast. I'm your host, Justin, and I got with you on the line, Mr. Josh. How's it going?
It's going, going good. How are you guys? How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. You feeling all right?
Oh, I'm feeling great. Just decided to talk with a little frog in my throat, I guess.
That's all right. It happens every now and then. Let me first say, sorry for skipping week two. Kind of got our schedule messed up a little bit, and then I just had other things going on, so we didn't get to finish week two. We'll get right to week three and catch everyone up on the matchup this week.
Yep. It's good to be back. Yeah, again, apologies on missing last week. Happy to be back in the saddle again.
It's all good, man. You know, life happens, you know. Football is life, but life isn't football all the time.
Yeah, yep. I was on a conference call with Park in Malaysia, so fun stuff.
For sure, man. I actually want to start off the episode with a little debate we had on Sunday. So obviously our teams did not do quite as good as we were hoped. So we ran a debate on what's worse, losing to the worst team in the league or getting blown out by 50 points by one of the best teams in the league? I want to get your full opinion on this.
So are you talking like getting blown out by you're talking like regular football, not fantasy football?
Correct, like as a football fan, not fantasy.
I don't know, both are painful.
Absolutely.
It sucks when you're, I think it hurts worse than when your team loses to an opponent they're supposed to beat. Everybody picked them to win, and then they show up and nothing goes their way. I think that hurts a little bit more than getting blown out by a good team.
I will say in this scenario, I will give you the slight edge because yours was also a division opponent. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you're going to see them another year or another time this year, and that's always going to get brought up, you know, when you face the Texans again, the Jaguars, but I mean, the fact that, like, I almost went to this game in Miami, and I'm so glad I didn't, because I would have had the worst time on that train coming home. But nonetheless, like, I just, with sparked my interest of what's worse, losing to a far less talented team, you know, like W4 or whatever, or getting blown up by 50 points, you know, getting blown up by, what was it, 35 in like, the first, like, 2 minutes of the second half, you know, which is
Yeah, I didn't even watch the game. I wasn't watching that game. I was too busy screaming at TV about the Jags game. So,
it really hurts because, like, obviously we live in Florida, so I can't catch all the Broncos games. They're just not always locally televised, which I understand. But mm-hmm. Then it hit me. I was like, oh, God, they're in Miami. I'll be able to watch it. And literally, I caught 2 minutes before the halftime. I lost the fumble. And then they get the ball in the second half. But then they instantly lose that possession and get scored on the next play. So it's just downhill from that.
Yeah. I just kept looking at my phone seeing Raheem Mostert touchdown. What? Raheem Mostert touchdown. What?
Yeah.
And I have him in Sleeper or in the Dynasty League. And he almost won me the game, but it did not. I had Achan on my bench in Dynasty as well, and so if I played him, I probably would have won.
I think if you had any Miami player, you had a great chance of winning this week. Because I had Tua. He probably did like the least of the three, which kind of makes sense. But nonetheless, let's go on to your commissioner's corner, sir.
All right. Again, I just want to say sorry we missed last week. You know, schedules, stuff with work comes up, and, you know, didn't have time to record. But I just wanted to say this. I absolutely hate fantasy football. But it's a love-hate relationship because I love it, but I also hate it. I think everybody can agree with me on this one, especially when you score the second highest points of the week and still lose. I think it happened. This has happened to me twice already. The first week, and then, you know, the second week I tied with Justin, Ray, and then this week I get blown out because I play the person with the highest scoring points, and then I score the second highest points scoring points. So one of these days I'm going to play a team that doesn't score as many points as me, and I'm going to win. But it hasn't happened to me yet. So
your time will come, Joshua. Your time will come.
Yep. Well, since this is my little corner to vent, rant over.
Absolutely. So let's get right into our news and notes, which we're going to talk about the waiver wire. Because someone was a big acquisition this week and put quite a bit of money. That winner, of course, is Caleb. He bid for Devon Achane, as his half the league did. Of course, he priced it right, Chris Leland. You bid $31 over Pistons 30.
Yeah.
And you put it in 28. I put it in 21. I guess Joe was trying to click with $6. And then Justin Ray thought he could, no one knows, and put $0. Wasn't quite going to cut it there, Justin.
Well, Justin Ray doesn't have. Wait, was it this league? He dropped 100 of it on Jerome Ford or on Gerald. That might have been the Dynasty League, but yeah.
I think it was Dynasty because I think John has Ford in this league.
Oh, yeah.
Because he needed a running back.
It's interesting. I want to go and look and see how much money everybody has left. Wow. Everybody in my division still has $100 except me. So.
And you're the only one who hasn't won anything.
Yep. Yeah, and then John and Caleb are the ones who are using their waiver, who are using their money most. So
Caleb's done a lot because he went big on Justin Hill, or Justin Hill, excuse me. And then he just put in a load of for Devonic Achane.
Yeah, he needed somebody. I think he was – well, running backs are a very hot commodity this year because there are not very many good ones. Like, the running backs just aren't producing for fantasy football this year.
Yeah, I mean, tight ends, we knew coming into the season was kind of a stretch as it was just because there's always somebody that actually produce week in, week out. And even then, that's kind of a plus a little bit right now. But for some reason, running backs just can't stay healthy or just – one be traded, won't be traded, or one bigger contract and I'll get it, or just aren't, or they're getting like more pounded by the defensive line, which can't produce, you know, much because I have Eckler and he hasn't played since week one, and he's still kind of a 50-50 toss for play on Sunday. But anyway, that's our news and notes. So let's go right to the recap. I'll start off with running up the hill. And Miami Sharks, so we got a little Snavely Bowl going on. And of course, running up the hill won because he had quite a few Miami players. So definitely helped in his favor. But let me pull it up here in 1 second. Sorry.
And then while we're on the subject, I just want to say congratulations to Joe becoming a dad. He had a beautiful baby boy. I think it was last week or the week before. So congratulations, Joe. I know you're busy with your new baby at home, so I don't know if you're listening. Just want to say congratulations to you and your wife, Morgan. That's awesome.
Yeah, as I said, don't forget to mention Morgan. She kind of did some of the work, too.
Yeah, she did most of the work. All Joe did was get to take the baby out, or not take the baby out, but, you know, hold the baby. Maybe cut the umbilical cord.
Joe is the cheerleader. No, I'm just
fine. Yeah, and Joe being a surgeon, you know, he could have jumped over there and helped stitch her up if he needed to.
But I think they're good anyway. But again, congrats, Joe and Morgan, finally on to welcome the baby boy. Got a future fantasy football prodigy in the mix.
Yeah, who knows? But congratulations, Joe.
Absolutely. So back to the recap, we got Joe versus his brother John. And not only did Joe get a baby, he got a win.
Yeah.
So, congrats on Joe. like I said, he had a lot of Miami players, so of course they did good. He had Tyreek Hill. Waddle didn't play, that's why. So he only had, he didn't play Miami defense. So anyway, Hill got 30 points. He'll set Debo at 24. Kirk Cousins had a big day with 32, so definitely is going to hold over on John, who played Geno, who got 18 points. Jamar Chase finally did, had a good game. He had 26. And it had a good bits all around. Just wasn't quite enough to counteract Joe's team right there. Mm-hmm. So that's Joe. Better next week, John. And let's go into game two.
All right. Wheeling and Dealing versus Rack City Clutch. This game was tight. 1 point. I think Caleb texted me after this game. He said, you can't be serious. I can't believe that happened. So that was a pretty crazy game. Chris Whelan's team pulls out the victory with Brock Purdy scoring 24 points. So that was good play by him to put Purdy as his quarterback, since he made the choice to bench Justin Fields, which is a very smart choice. I have Justin Fields in Dynasty, and I probably will end up trying to bench him for somebody else too. So, but he plays the Denver Broncos, so maybe he'll get a good week this week. Well, who knows?
Yeah, slow down now.
But yeah, Chris's team, Tony Pollard got him 20 points. One of those premium running backs, because nobody else, you know, running backs aren't doing good this year. Speaking of running backs, Caleb's two running backs, Algier and Kendre Miller, did nothing for him, scoring both 4 points. So, but Hurts, Jefferson, and Pittman got him the most points of the game. So congrats, Chris, on being 3-0 and leading in second place. I think he's leading his division. So Chris is already on much better streak this year than he was last year. Maybe that fantasy football loser shirt is actually good luck.
Maybe we'll start a trend going on.
Yeah, and Chris's bench is doing really good too. I mean, his bench players, like Dulcich is in his IR, so he got 0 points. But like Gus Edwards got five. You know, is the worst player on his team, got 5 points. But all of his bench were double digits. So Chris has got a really all solid team, and he squeaked by with the win. So
pretty good. Next game we'll go into is going to be Kansas City Goobers, which is Justin Ray, versus Team Deptford, which of course is Bradford. In a week where we had several close games, of course, we had one game that was not close at all. It was 141-93 in favor of Justin Ray. That is what you call that. Almost feels like Miami versus Denver Broncos right now. That's how bad that difference is.
Yeah. It's
an all around good game.
It's a little bit of a blowout. So,
Jordan Love got 26 points. Amara Ross St. Brown got 19. Mike Williams got 25 points before he went down, and now he's out for the season. So, I mean, sucks he lost him, but, you know, at least he got pretty good standing in there. His running back got 20 points combined with Najee Harris and Damian Pierce. Of course, Kelsey's going to Kelsey. He's got 19 points, and he got 12 points from Moody, the kicker for the Niners. So, all around, great job. Bradford's kind of weakness on the team was his running backs got a combined 5 points, and it wasn't all Derrick Henry. And London only got him 5 points. Of course, they're still not using Kyle Pitts correctly, so he only got 9 points, which, honestly, I think is his highest so far. His great pick of Justin Tucker got him 7. So, yeah, overall, just wasn't quite up to par what he needed. Of course, only, like, 2 people were going to be great this weekend, and neither one of them played after.
Yep.
What's the next game?
Next game is CW Won't Call Back versus Mega Miller's team. Matthew, another close game. Matthew squeaks out a 2-point victory over Alex. So Alex's team, Josh Allen, you know, is his best player. Josh Allen and Christian McCaffrey is his two best players, and they're literally the only two players who performed for him. Ridley did nothing. Hopkins did nothing. Brian Robinson didn't do anything. That's because the Washington Commanders got destroyed by Buffalo. Kansas City Chiefs defense did okay. But, yeah, everybody else just kind of failed. And Matthew squeaks out with a win, even by getting 0 points from Brendan Ayuk, you know, not being able to set his lineup on Thursday. He still ended up squeaking out with a win. So Matthew's had some really lucky breaks go his way this season. And, yeah. He called me after this game, too, and said he couldn't believe he won. So.
Yeah, we're going to do something like that every time Matthew misses a lineup change. We're going to kind of do mid-season punishment round.
Yeah, I know.
So, Matthew, listen, you better watch out. We're going to tally it up right now. And every lineup you missed that could have been avoided, we're going to mark it up for you and make a punishment.
Yeah, and we're going to do something that he's not going to enjoy either. It's going to be something like he has to go around dressed like Mickey Mouse or something at Universal.
Or what if when he was a loser, we put a sticker on his back of his truck? What if we just, like, car wrap his own car of a unicorn? And that way he can't hide it. He can fall around it.
No. We take every time he misses a lineup place, I'm gonna go put a Mickey sticker on the back of his car, one that won't come off.
Or we just car wrapped his car with Disney stuff.
Oh yeah, we can do that too. We already did that when he got married, so we can break all that stuff again and do it again.
There we go. Got an idea going. We'll glad to take input from other managers around the league if you want to chime in. You know,
Matthew, we did not mind driving up there an hour to do this to your truck either. So
yeah, don't question our motivation. We'll be highly motivated. Yeah, keep it up. Sure. All right. Now to our next game. Unfortunately, I will talk about it. It's Max Stack, my buddy Josh, versus Super Saiyan, which is Zach, who's currently 3-0 in the division. And he had the highest week of 184 versus Josh, who had 158, which, like you said earlier, man, it's a bad break. I mean, let me go back here to the league, and I think you would have beaten almost anyone else if you played him.
I would have beaten everybody else if I beat them, even Justin Ray.
Yeah, I see right now. Matt's highest one was 143, which is actually Joe. He beat Ray by 2 points. But even still, you would have cleared him. So, like you said, fortunate break for you, man. Let's see here, yeah. And Devontae Adams for the monster game, 42 points. Evans had a solid game. Kenneth Walker got to 29. And, of course, you had a Buffalo. Did you draft Buffalo Demons? I don't remember that. Or did you pick them up?
I think I drafted them.
No, good shoulders on you because they got the 32 points from the defense. So it's all down there.
Yeah, even if I played Romeo Doubs instead of Breece Hall, I still would have lost by like 6 points. So
the problem is,
it's hard to overcome when he has two players score 45 and 46. So
yeah, so the problem is Zach had Mostert, who had 3 touchdowns alone out of the 70 points from the Miami game. Keenan at 46 with. He got used a lot when Mike Williams went down. And then A.J. Brown had 22 points, even a mediocre 16 from Dak Prescott. But it was just too much to handle against your guys. So, unfortunately, sorry about that, sir. But it is what it is.
Yep.
And let's talk about the last game.
All right. So you talked about my loss. I could talk about yours. Prestige Worldwide. Pulling out the victory over Justin's great value Broncos, 117 to 101. Tua did great for him, and excuse me, that was about it. And then Justin Herbert, you know, the quarterbacks kind of canceled each other out, and then, you know, Eric's team just did slightly better than yours. You know, his kicker got 4 points, and he didn't lose 4 points from his defense. So, yeah.
Just I will say, I forget who it was, whoever dropped Josh McKelly, thank you, because I picked him up because, of course, I had Austin Eckler out. And they were playing Minnesota, which I was told he was going to gash all day for him because they have such a terrible run defense. So I was like, oh, great, I'll play him over Zach Moss, who plays for Indianapolis, who played Baltimore. You know, that's a really good decision. Nope, Zach Moss went off with 27 points. So had I not done that, I would have had 25-ish points. I would have won outright.
You would have won even if, or if you put in Cooper instead of, if you did Cooper instead of Pickens or Smith or Kieran Williams, like, and then if of course you put LaPorta in over Kittle, which is hard to do, but Sam LaPorta is going to be really good for you. And just now you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place where do you stick with Porta or do you stick with Kittle? And I know you already said Kittle's on the trade block, so.
Yeah, I'll say Cooper and Pickens I was flipping around all day with between. So I think Pickens had the Sunday night game and Cooper had the Monday night or vice versa, something like that. I know I was flipping between them. And I was like, you know what, Johnson's down. I think Pickens will be the number one role. He would have a good chance. Unfortunately, Cooper, of course, had a better game. And then
Tennessee's pass defense is terrible. So anytime your receiver's playing Tennessee, you have a good shot at getting good points. So.
And like I said, I'll put it on here new. Like, Kittle's on the block for me. I think I have a quality backup tight end I can use now. I'm trying to get some trade value out of George Kittle. I'm also going to, you know, package him with a receiver and or running back. I'm trying to upgrade a receiver. So I can't really have one I can depend on. But if you feel like you want to throw me an offer, I'll evaluate it and we'll go from there. I did send one to Josh, but he declined before I even noticed, so it's fine. Anyway, that's my game. Definitely didn't work out, but congrats to you, Eric.
Yeah.
All right, what we got now? Not my team. Josh, you want to start us off?
Sure. This week, I'm going with my brother with my favorite team.
Mr.
Rack City Clutch. I think he's going to do good. I just kind of have a feeling that he's going to do well with Aaron Jones coming back and Kamara coming back. You know, he's been holding Kamara's bench for a while just to try to see if he can get some stuff out of him. So I think that, and he's playing Team Dafford, who I think is probably you know, hurting now because he's got A.J. Dillon as a starting running back. So, and I just think Caleb's going to have a really good week.
Sure. And your least favorite?
Yeah, my least favorite is Justin Ray, the other Justin.
That was close.
I know. He just losing Mike Williams, I think, is going to really hurt him. He had to play the taps and drop him. Like I had to do with Breece Hall last year. And when you lose a player who just got you 25 points and you had to drop him, it just kind of hurts. So I think Ray's team is going to be hurting because his running backs are very not good, not performing with Harris and Pierce. So he does have Kelsey, and Kelsey can, you know, is a game changer at tight end. So Kelsey can score him 20 points, you know, on a whim. So, I just had a feeling Justin's not going to do as good this week, but we shall see.
Absolutely. I'll go to my favorite and least favorite. My favorite, I don't think you can kind of dispute it. It's going to be Super Saiyan Zach. He's 3-0. He's going to put up a monster game. He's got a solid team all around so far that we've seen. He's got Keenan Allen when they lost Mike Williams, so he'll definitely be using Keenan Allen a lot more. Even if Eckler comes back a little bit, they definitely want to use Raheem Mustard, starter in Miami. Johnny Smith, who's, I think, got a decent floor over there in Philly. Hurts is definitely getting all the goal line work, but maybe a few, when they're 10 or so yards out, they'll try to keep running it to Swift. Still, Mark Andrews, who's a solid tight end. We got Cam Akers, who just got traded to Minnesota. So hopefully, if he starts getting some reps, I'll definitely give him a hold over until we can get Barkley back. So overall, not too bad. Definitely got a lot of potential in there. Of course, that one's got to stay healthy, so we'll see how long that lasts. That's why I picked Zach as my favorite. And my least favorite, I'm going to T. Dafford. You know, we just hit on some of the notes, but you lost Mike Williams. T. Dafford, he lost Nick Chubb. That's a big loss for him. And then Derrick Henry, who hasn't really been doing great this season. You got AJ Dillon, which is still going to be behind Aaron Jones. And he's got Kyle Pitts, who they said the highest ceiling of all the non-Kelsey tight ends, but unfortunately they just don't use him a lot. So once he gets traded or they finally wake up and realize, hey, we have Kyle Pitts, who's a monster at tight end. We'll definitely have to wait and see how this team goes. Lamar Jackson solid, DK Metcalf is a monster. Hopefully they'll keep using London, but other than that, it's going to be an uphill climb for Team Dafford most of the way. So good luck, man. Hope you can definitely turn these around if you want to trade. Yeah. I don't know.
I was going to pick him as my least favorite as well, but, you know, we didn't, since we want to pick different teams, I didn't pick him. But, yeah, I think Derrick Henry is going to be a bust this year. I think this is his downfall. This is his like, year where he just stops running, stops caring. Not caring, just not able to do what he's been doing. So, when you lose that and Nick Chubb. And you lose Nick Chubb, like that's a hard thing to come back from.
Absolutely, and if anyone doesn't know, like Nick Chubb is out for the year. So it's not just like a mostly weak thing; he is done.
Yep. Bradford, if you listen to this podcast, you can go ahead and do your salute and let him go off into the wind, because this isn't a keeper league. So Nick Chubb is just taking a spot on your bench. You can. Drop him.
All right, and we'll go to our power rankings now. You want to do 3x3 and we'll discuss how we feel about
it? Sure.
Why don't you start us off?
All right. Number one, Super Saiyans. Can't argue with that. Scoring 183 points, even though it hurts me to say it. Zach has got the power team going on right now. Mostert has been the number one running back. He's going to carry him and Keenan Allen. So, Allen and Mostert's a very good combination. It's going to probably pull him through many games this year. So, Zach is the team to beat right now. Followed by Mega Miller. I'm going to call him the luckiest team in the league. He somehow finds ways to win. So, we'll keep you up here at the top. For this week, at least, we'll see if your luck can keep on going. Then, because you can see his points for, right? Matthew's points for is 363, and his points against is 383 points. So, it's hard. He's going to keep – he's just gotten lucky. I don't know. And then number three, Wheelin' and Dealin', you know, our other undefeated team going on this week. He has – not as many points for as Matthew, so Matthew's team is still up there, but yours truly has more points for points than both of those teams. So, again, call me jaded, whatever, or biased, but there we go.
Hey, now, again,
I'm a biased commissioner. Our last three is going to be Carson City Goobers, followed by Rashid Clutch. And then CW won't call back. That is Justin Ray, Caleb Carlson, and Alex Bird. I feel like it's a good spot for Carson City Goobers. He does have a great bench. I know I mentioned his like running back definitely could be improved, but Jordan Love has honestly been surprising for me all season. How he's been doing so well, you know, being thrust into the starting lineup for Green Bay. I love Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's been doing wonders for me these last 2 years. He got Puka Nakua from the Rams, who's just been probably the most underrated person this whole season. And then he got Kelsey, the one and only set and forget it tight end, who honestly could get more points than both those running backs combined. So kind of evens out a little bit. That's why I have a number four over some of the other guys who might have a better record. Caleb and Alex are doing pretty good. Lost one or two close games. So that's the only reason why they're kind of lower than Justin Ray right now.
Yeah, the only person I'd say you could probably dump down a little bit is Alex. He's gotten another lucky break because his points for is 316, but his points against is only 284. So I think he's got the easiest points against out of everybody in the entire league, and he still lost two games. So,
for sure.
Alex's things are only going to get a little tougher for Alex as he plays teams that are able to score a little bit more points than what he's faced the last 3 weeks. So, the next three would be Prestige Worldwide. Yeah, never, ever, ever count Eric out. He always ends up making a trade or picking up a good player off the waiver wire. He's, you know, very crafty fantasy player. So even if we wait him to seven, he may end up, you know, squeaking into playoffs and getting hot at the end. So that Team Dafford is where we put him at eight and running up that hill. I would probably move Team Dafford down quite a bit just because I think the loss of Nick Chubb and the fact that Henry's not performing at all for him this year is, I think that Bradford is in for a very rough rest of the season.
But that's last week's spots we have are number 10, Great Value Broncos, which is my team. 11, I have your team, Josh, at Mac Attack. And then last but not least, we have John Snavely at Miami Sharks, who is one of the only not undefeated teams that also didn't win in the tie or lose in the draw, however you want to say that. But yeah, unfortunately, I think I said before that John just, you know, definitely with Joe Burrow hasn't really been helping out, just now being back playing almost to his caliber talent. But
yeah,
with the number one pick, you know, you think you have the best solid team, and he spent a lot of money on his tab to get Jerem Ford because he needed one because he's losing lost a couple guys. But yeah, unfortunately, he's got no wins yet, but all you need is one win to start a streak.
Yeah, Jamar Chase finally had his best game of the season last week with 26 points, but Joe Burrow really didn't do much in that game and only ended up scoring 9. So,
yeah.
Joe Burrow threw a lot to Jamar Chase, and that's how he got all the crit catches and yards, but he didn't score any touchdowns. So, no points were really given to Joe Burrow. And then, John decided to live and die by the Bengals, and the Bengals have killed him so far. So, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how he, if his team can bounce back. But
they're the Cincinnati kitty cats at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, and they had a rough start last year. So maybe they get things together. Maybe that last win, you know, eking out that last win, will help them kind of get things kickstarted, and they can keep going, continue on their winning ways, which will help John quite a bit. But I think Joe Burrow's hurt, and I think but you know what? A good bounce back game is Tennessee, so he they may actually get him quite a few points this week. So
I'm just curious, you said you would drop Team Dafford down from 8. Where would you put him in the list?
I'd probably put him down right since he has won a game, I'd probably put him right underneath you between at probably 10.
So you bump me and Joe up one spot, and he would take the 10 spot.
Yeah, John and I deserve 11 and 12, even though I believe my team's much better than the record shows, but I haven't won a game yet, so.
Well, I think John would say his team is much better than the record shows as well.
Yeah, no.
I can see your point. Week 3, a little ups and downs for some people. Definitely the rookies are way different than week 1. So it's kind of interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, anything else to say, Josh?
Yeah. You want to talk a little Dynasty?
Sure, let's bring it up.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually don't know the standings.
Well, the standings are me. I'm dead last.
Along
with Justin Ray. Him and I are the defeated teams. Haven't won a game. Up in the first place is Mr. Sean Steed, who's a newbie to the league, and everybody's making fun of him for how his draft strategy went, but he's the one who's laughing now with up there at 3-0. So
Nice.
Caleb, Matt are up top. We have quite a few teams that are 2-1 right now, actually, for half the league. And then in the second half of the league is like 1-2 or 0-3. So it's kind of divided right down the middle. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this dynasty kind of plays out this year.
Yeah, I think this league will definitely take a while to get some traction. Maybe a big trade will happen, or, you know, I guess it gets a lot of momentum for anything to really kind of settle it in. Right now, we're all just kind of learning the small details of the dynasty league and kind of real picking on who we play and who we don't, or, you know, who we keep on our back of the bench and stash, whatever.
Yeah. Yep. And I haven't won yet in this league either, but I came close. I was almost beat Sean. He beat me by 2 points. And then last week I gave Caleb a good run for his money at the end. I had Achan on my bench scoring me 50 points. So this week I'm gonna, you know, chase the lightning and put Achan and Mostert as my two starting running backs. We'll see. It's a bold move. Bold move, Cotton. Let's see how it works.
Absolutely. You don't know until you try it, right?
Yep. But I think that's it for me. Are you got anything else you want to say before we wrap this week's podcast up?
Nope. I think that's all I got. Again, sorry about missing the week, but glad we were able to get inside and get this one done. Appreciate everyone for listening.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. We'll get back together next week. And if you guys want to join the pod, please send Justin or myself a text saying you interested in joining us. We'll get you on here. We'd love to have guests and guest hosts. And yeah, just let us know if you guys want to join the pod.
Or if they want to leave us a message, they can go on the 4F Podcast Instagram. There's a link there. And there's a leave a message button for our podcast. And we can put it on there if you guys want.
Yeah, we need some smack. We haven't had any smack talk yet this year, so go ahead and leave us a message, and we'll get you put on the message section.
We also need question ideas for Matthew, just in case he keeps forgetting to set his lineup.
Oh, yeah. If anybody's got an idea for punishment for Matthew, if he forgets to set his lineup. Or actually, we can't just single out Matthew. We can be anybody, right? If somebody forgets to set their lineup and gives our opponent a free pass on the week, we will figure something fun out to do for him.
Two notes on that. Absolutely, you're right. It's not pertaining just to Matthew. He just has a little bit of history of it. Two, it wasn't really a free pass because Matthew's still in a winning. So kind of canceled out on that end. But other than that, yeah, you're right. Definitely a general punishment for anyone who continually forgets to set up their lineup.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for having on tonight, and we'll get to you guys next week.
All right. Take care, guys. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Peace out.
Bye.